Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
If I grab her tail, she's
going to
get back.
Yeah,
right.
You
yep.
Scared of her?
No. That's a cool pet.
Yeah, that's very cool.
We got
cool.
Two of them.
Yeah. That's crazy, like, seeing, what was it, grapes the other day?
Blueberries.
That's a little blueberry. Yeah. Yeah.
Little bloobs.
She likes those and the little worms. All right, we're ready. We're ready, Alan.
All right, here we go. One, two. Tattoo Steve, he works down on the dock, down on DIP, by that old foul river lot. He lost his mind in the Vietnam War. Now he spends his nights, he's lonely at the liquor store. Mary Lou Wilson, that's where I buy my weed. Preacher and a pilgrim, and they're living in an old RV. Right behind old Bodine's, down by the Quickie Mart on DIP. Few years back, when the spill went down, we were under attack, and it pissed off the whole damn town. Governor Bentley, well, he never did a goddamn thing. Guess he was probably too busy flirting with his employee. Now we got deformed fish, yes, and three-eyed shrimp, mutated alligator, I blame it on the government. Ever since that day, now it ain't been the same way since on DIP. Thank you.
Welcome you. Well, Porch Talk
2.0.
B.B. Palmer 2.0. We're in Demopolis, Alabama. And we got Josh McKenzie, Taylor Honeycutt, and Bernard. No. Go tell us the nicknames.
Okay, yeah. We'll run through the list of aliases.
Yes.
Yeah, so, you know, there's B.B. Palmer, obviously. There's Death Destroyer of Worlds, a.k.a. Toothless Terry, a.k.a. Nasty Nardo. You know, the list goes down. I mean, yeah, you know, these are just names that have either were given to me or were born within me and are now out into the world. The Toothless Terry, he like this. He's Toothless Terry, you know. And then, yeah.
I'm with
that's
it.
That's the aliases.
We got 2.0 now, and it's a gift.
It is a gift.
Like, so for the first one, it was first time hanging out in Demopolis for me, and we had a baby shower across the street.
Oh, yeah. Live band.
We started tracking, and it was picking it all up. Then we went over there and partied with them.
Yeah, and then we moved locations, and for whatever reason, that was the whole meat of that episode, and it wasn't there when I got home.
I
cried.
Alan,
then I cried again.
Alan was, you're feeling pretty rough, but it was just slipped through to the ether. It was meant to be that way, you know. Yeah. Now we're here again, and we're comfortable now, so yeah, we're ready to roll.
2.0. So, a little bit about y'all. Tell me a little bit about where you were from, where you grew up, and how you even got into music.
Well, I started 2,000 years ago, 2,500 years ago in the Andromeda Galaxy, in the in the Messier system. Oh no, you meant this lifetime?
No, keep going.
It takes 7 hours. We don't have that much time, so I'm skipping this lifetime.
Okay.
So this lifetime, I was born.
It's about 2 years before my actual birth.
Yeah, exactly. I was born in Mobile, basically Mobile, Alabama, Theodore, Alabama, kind of grew up between those places. And I started playing music when I was 15, you know. It was my first bar gig, so I had like a garage band me and my buddies played in, my high school friends, and then I moved to the Opelika area around 2006 and went through a few different bands and, you know, cut my teeth and all that, and then started B.B. Palmer like 6 years ago, so.
Let me say this is like D.I.P. Yeah, you know me. I was like, man, I lived down there for 6 years. So with that song, man, anytime I hear the like, what the heck does D.I.P. even mean?
D.I.P.
It's me. It's Mobile.
It's Mobile.
And it's a whole meme.
It's funny. It is. It's funny because either people know it or they don't, obviously. But like the people from that area have heard it always come up and always talk about D.I.P.
Yeah.
You know, and we'll talk about like Hippie Beach and you know, Foul River, obviously Dog River, you know, all the spots in the Bay, Middle Bay Light, you know, all that. That was my stomping grounds growing up, so yeah.
Yeah, man.
Down on the parkway. My people are on the parkway, so.
Down at the D.I.P.
Yeah, that's it. You got it.
But tell me a little bit about the formation of B.B. Palmer. Who's in it?
Okay, well, right now obviously myself and Josh McKenzie over here. Make yourself known, Josh.
Hello, everybody.
that's my right-hand man. And basically, it was started about 5 or 6 years ago, 6 years or so, in the Auburn-Opelika area. And originally, it was me and a guy named Tyler Wallace started the band, a drummer. And then we added a couple of his friends. Jordan Walker played bass. And a couple, Lindsay and Ross Ball, kind of played pedal steel and mandolin, you know, the auxiliary instruments. So they moved, like, within a year of the band, they moved to Asheville, and that's when Josh joined us. And that's when we transitioned from, like, a Americana root sound to more of, like, a hardcore honky-tonk type of, you know.
Yeah, I joined on right before the EP came out.
Yeah.
So, like, right then, it's like when all the songs started changing, because, I mean, I was there through the writing of all the songs that made the EP.
Yep. It was a completely different band from when we started it to when Josh joined. But we had to pivot, you know, like we didn't have those, you know, it didn't have that style or flavor anymore. So, you know, yeah, we, that would have been 2015 then. You, your first gig would have been with us 2015. No, before that.
Yeah, no, I can tell you because whenever I got my telly was like December 22nd, 2014. So I started playing that October 2014.
Wow.
So I started playing for you.
Well, I guess it felt like, yeah, because we didn't drop the EP till 2016, but we had a couple false starts like a year before we recorded and didn't release it. And then we did it again and released it when we did it in Nashville. But yeah, so that's how BB Palmer got to start.
That's cool, man. So tell me the story about the Telecaster and why.
The Telecaster? Well,
I mean, I'm under the impression that it's the best guitar.
Yeah, it is the superior guitar. It's modern in 1952, and it's modern today. You know, it's like the only other thing that's like that is a Smith & Wesson. I mean, there's nothing else that is still the same.
Yeah.
You know, it's the only two things. But no, my first Tele, a guy named Mark Rogers, he gave me my first Tele and my first tube amp. And,
it was an old blue, wasn't your first one?
No. I started playing tellies way early on, and because of him, and he let me hear a John Hyatt song called Memphis in the Meantime, and it said, right now, I want a Telecaster with a Vibralux turned to 10. So I have a Vibralux amp and a Telecaster. And I like to turn it to 10, but the venues don't like
only
that.
Only for outside, big outside gigs can you get up to 10. But,
no, it just works. It's just utilitarian guitar that I just like to play because it's simple, two knobs and a switch. Two pickups, but I only use one of them, the back one.
And
I don't ever use the front pickup. I don't even really need that at all.
And that's why they call him Telecaster Josh, folks. Find him on the web, Telecaster Josh.
That's my Venmo and Cash App, too, if y'all want to send me some money.
Thanksgiving, Christmas is coming up, and, I mean, your birthday was today, too. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Come on, y'all.
Wait.
Bring it.
Okay, y'all.
Pushing the Venmo.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It is Josh's birthday.
Yes,
birthday,
Josh.
Telecaster Josh. We got just back to the 2.0. I mean, it was, and it's good to be hanging out with y'all again. I had such a good time, and I mean, after the podcast, we went out and
got to experience Demopolis to the fullest.
Yeah, yeah. I would have never.
That was good.
Would have never known
the wonders.
The wonders of Demopolis.
That was a great day. We came stumbling back in here at like 2 in the morning.
Yeah, that whole day was good. I'm glad that those tapes got lost because now. Now we get to see Alan again.
Yeah.
Yep. Good to see you, man.
Yeah, man. So let's move it on down. Tell me about Lee County's Finest, man.
You want to know the origin, like where it came from, the tagline? Or?
Yes.
Okay, Josh, you tell the story, because I'm not...
Lee County's Finest?
I don't remember anything, really, at all. So, yeah, how did it come to be?
Lee County's Finest came to be as like more or less a joke because like, I mean, in a way, in a sense, like, so
we were all
living in Opelika, which is Lee County. And, I mean, everyone, the whole band lived in Lee County at that point.
Yep.
And, you know, it was us trying to like change from being like a band that played bars and covers to an original band. And like, we were doing something totally different than what most of our peers were doing at that point in time. And it was just kind of like a funny thing, more or less, to say Lee County's Finest, because we obviously, you know, we don't consider ourselves the finest musicians there or anything like that. It's just like,
it's a play.
It was just a thing.
Yeah, it's tongue-in-cheek. It was definitely tongue-in-cheek.
But people didn't, not everyone took it that way. Like people, you know, other musicians or people thought that, you know, we were like, full of ourselves, which made it even better than they thought that.
Yeah,
it's like,
it's great. It's like,
free publicity at this point.
Yeah, these folks, but they're getting all, you know, a couple of them were, you know, all up in arms.
Yeah, but that evolved, and now our new moniker is Lee County's Highest.
Yeah.
And that's the story for that is because one night we were on our way to a gig in Columbus at this, like, I mean, dive bar in Columbus that you could smoke in, you know, bras hanging from the ceiling. It was a dive bar.
Yeah.
And we were on our way there, and me and BB were riding together, and we stopped at a gas station, and we bought a bong at the gas station. And so, like, when we got to the bar, we're like, go in. It's like, can we get a glass of water? No ice, you know, like, going outside, filled this bong up. And we're, like, smoking this bong out back, and BB was telling Tyler, it's like, we're going to call the record when it comes out, Lee County's Finest. And Tyler just starts laughing. He's like, more like Lee County's Highest.
Yeah,
like, we all just laugh, like, we're, you know, and people always, like, joke about how much we smoked. And so BB's birthday is on 420.
Yep.
And so for his birthday, as a joke, Tyler, like, designed a shirt that said Lee County's Highest. And
yep.
BB threw it on Instagram. And literally, people just started, like, messaging us wanting to order them. And so we did.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
sold them out. And yeah, now it's just like, this is our thing. Lee County's Highest.
Yeah, it's just part of the lore, you know, part of the BB Palmer lore. But yeah.
the best part of it is how true it is. In Opelika, there's a place called John Emerald Distillery. And
J.D.
They, you know, make whiskey there, and they're in the song Opelika talk about JD.
Yep.
And great people. That's where we did our
CD release.
We did
our first one,
the EP release.
EP release.
And me and BB used to play there and like do like a Western Wednesday and stuff, but we love them. But the owner, he said we were in there one day and they had their Spotify playing, and we're like on their Spotify playlist, and he goes, smell that? Smells like BB Palmer. And I was like, yes! I mean, we're talking like a 60-something-year-old dude's like saying that, and he's like, yeah, every time y'all play here, it just reeks in the back for days afterwards.
We're living our name.
Yep. Sorry, folks. Yeah, you know, can't cover it up with Axe or nothing like that. So.
Axe.
So funny.
We're not in high school anymore.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, so that's
you got to burn incense. You got to get some chompa.
Exactly. Patchouli.
Patchouli. Yeah. Patchouli, baby. All
right, man. This is for Adrian. Oh. Marmaleo.
Oh, yeah. Adrian.
I have got to ask you about what happened at Standard Deluxe with your idea for a Hank Williams music video.
All right, so I'll start the story by placing the scene and time. It was at an early James show, like probably 2 months ago by now, or 3 months ago. Probably 1 month ago. I don't know. It was a month or two ago. So after the show, you know, everyone's hanging out, the band's hanging out. There's a few folks came to the show who are hanging out and all that. And so we're just, you know, having a good time and all that. And I started talking to Adrian. We started just talking, just basically just getting a little weird, getting a little out there. And so I was like, man, I was like, wouldn't it be good to do like a, you know, if you covered a Hank Williams song, what the music video could be? Because you know those old Hank Williams black and white videos on YouTube, like where he's at the Opry and he's just playing. I was like, basically do it like that, have it black and white, everybody have nudie suits on, and do a Hank Williams song. But instead, we'll do boy band choreography from the 2000s. So like NSYNC and all that. Yes. And it's like, you're cheating hard. Basically,
God, why is this not a video?
Yeah.
It's going to be.
Messing around, and Adrian's like, you struck gold. I was like, yeah, man. I was like, basically, my goal in life is just if I had a lot of money, that's all I would do, is just spend it on making just ridiculous
things.
Stupid shit. You know? So anyways, yeah, so that's how that came to be. So, yeah, anybody can have it. Anyone that's hearing this can have that idea. If you bring it to life first, go do it.
But it needs to exist.
Yeah, I think so.
What Bernard is telling you is like he would be the Elon Musk of creative ideas.
Yeah, but
instead of shooting people into space, he would bring back K-pop dancing.
Do it.
Make it relevant again.
Exactly. That's it. You know. He called me the Elon Musk of Hank Williams boy band choreography.
Yeah.
There we go.
That's fair. We need to add that to the alias.
Yeah, that's it.
It's a new alias.
Yeah.
Toothless Terry, get out of the way.
Toothless Terry, man. Tell you what, man.
The Nard one.
the best part is, I was the band Instagram messages like will pop up on my phone. They go away, but like they'll like pop up where and like you can read a little bit of it. And I guess BB had posted like a Toothless Terry Instagram video, and his dad, whose name is Terry, it pops up a message and said, "What the fuck? Toothless Terry? Really?"
Oh yeah, my dad. I love him. He's the best man in the world, man. This guy. But at first, he was like, "Dad, it's got nothing to do with you. It just sounds funny." And then after that, he was like, "It is pretty damn funny." Like, actually, that's brilliant.
Kind of warmed up to it.
Yeah, he did. Because I do these little videos, like story videos, like 15 seconds. Like I call them Toothless Terry PSAs, and basically. The story goes, this is how Toothless Terry came to exist. So when I lost my tooth, when I got my tooth taken out, basically...
That was like the original delay on our podcast, too.
Yeah, exactly.
The original weekend we had planned, you had to get your tooth pulled.
Yeah, because I was in pain. So I got my tooth pulled, and then all of a sudden I was like, man, I got this guy inside of me that wants to come out, and he wants to kill me. I have a feeling he wants to kill B.B. Palmer. And so after that, I was like, that's the storyline. So I came out and did the PSA. The first was like, hey, everybody, it's me, Toothless Terry. I just want to let y'all know that I killed B.B. Palmer and buried him in the backyard. Anyway, she's no longer existing, so I'm taking over, and... Toothless Terry over and out, peace. And that was like the first one. And the second one was like, okay, now we had the funeral, and now I'm going to do a show under my name. And then the third one was like me reading like a, basically he's like, he found a copy of the Bhagavad Gita, which is like the Eastern Vedic scriptures.
Yeah.
And he's like, so I was going through B.B. Palmer's room, and I found like this book called the Bhagavad Gita. And I just opened it up to a page and read a verse. And that's the one my dad saw. And he's like, it was pretty good knowledge. He's like, I liked the way that it was goofy. And at the same time, it was extremely knowledgeable. So he's like, you got to capitalize on Toothless Terry. And since then, we got people asking us for like Toothless Terry shirts and shit. So I'm just like about to put a franchise behind Toothless Terry.
Should.
Yeah, so that's how that came to be.
Man, I guess just to talk a little bit more...
We gotta pull it together.
Let it simmer. Where's that vape at?
Yeah, you got yours little chapstick.
Yeah. I'll touch it.
There we go. Tail touching. Sorry, folks. They're on Radio Land. We're having a smoke break, so radio silence for a moment.
Oh man, Toothless Terry. And the first time that you did that video, I was crying. I was at the house crying when I saw it. I was like, this is the best thing.
You sent me a message. You and like probably 20 other people were like, oh my God, this is hilarious. And I was like, man, I started to feel like, I was like, they don't want B.B. Palmer no more. And I thought about that Eminem verse that goes, I've created a monster. Nobody wants to see Marshall no more. They want Shady. I'm chopped liver. So now I'm thinking like, nobody wants to see BB anymore. They want Toothless Terry. I'm chopped liver. So I've created a monster. Shout out to Eminem.
We're getting behind the inspiration of Toothless Terry, man. Let's go.
I'm telling you, dude, that's all I think I might have like multiple personality disorders or something because I got all these people living inside me, you know.
Start a Toothless Terry OnlyFans.
What now?
A Toothless Terry OnlyFans.
What's the OnlyFans?
We'll show you after this.
Okay, I don't know about it.
Toothless Terry.
That's how
TikTok.
Some people have began making money in the pandemic.
Is that who did?
Some people.
Nice.
Start an OnlyFans and you can just... A lot of... It's a different approach. We'll show you.
Okay. Sounds like porn.
Ding, ding.
Is that right?
Battleship sunk.
All right. Okay. Good times.
Who wants to see Toots and No!
I think you might have the next one, Josh.
Co-starring?
No.
Co-starring, yeah, exactly.
It's me, Bucky.
Yep. That's
Stop. Right.
Yeah, they don't want Bucky to come out. They can't handle Toothless and Bucky. It's too much.
Well, unload some things for me, man. Just like with coming up from Mobile and then moving to, you said Birmingham to cut your teeth or Opelika?
Opelika.
Why'd you move there?
Well, I went to went up to Auburn to try school, and you know, I tried it, and then I put it away, and then I played music, and I came back, and basically over the course of 10 years, I put myself through school while kind of doing music too at the same time, and so basically that's what I went up there for, is that. But then I got, you know, when I started playing. And playing bands and all that, I was just like, yeah, this is what I want to do. You know, mm-hmm. like, I did, you know, eventually put, you know, my degree on the back burner. My parents wanted me to get a degree because I'm the only one in my family, I guess, besides my old man who has one. So, anyways,
What'd you study?
Exercise science, which is just the funniest thing because it's the farthest. But I can tell you about your BMI, your body mass index, and a couple other things. But other than that, it's pretty useless. So thank you, Auburn. I'd like to have that $60,000 worth of loans that I borrowed back. If you can just send that to my address, I appreciate it. But anyways, yeah, Auburn and that area, that's music kind of turned me on. Like, I was like, got a taste of it there as far as like playing regularly and doing shows, and I was like, yeah, that's what I want to do.
At this time, you was playing in that scene, right, Josh?
Yeah, but I didn't know Josh.
Yeah,
so, like, what did that look like? You were going out, or was it something that you were just already listening to, like putting on them on Hank Records? Like, what was turning you on?
Man, at that time, totally different stuff. I mean, because, I mean, and that's the thing, like, I go through, like, periods of different, you know, like, where my music, taste in music will change and all that. But at that time, it was, like, heavy, like, 70s, like psychedelic. Also played bass in a bluegrass band, you know, like also had like in, you know, classic rock and roll band. So I was just trying all these flavors, you know, and then I forgot how I got turned on, but you know, as far as like the old country goes, I got turned on to that probably 7 or 8 years ago and real heavy into it right before I started B.B. Palmer. So that kind of is what solidified the foundation of that.
Yeah, cool, man. It's kind of like it's fun hearing the description of B.B. Palmer, and it's the way I'm going to start describing it. It's the way that y'all described it earlier, like you was telling the story about, well, y'all play music, what kind of music y'all play? Or it was Top Home Country, right? And you had a guy playing, well, it would be like if he was taking LSD.
tell him.
And that was a bad tale.
Yeah, tell him, Josh. But yeah, that's the gist of it, but...
Yeah, and there was some lady at the bar was like asking us like what kind of music it is. Or there's a guy playing inside playing like good country, you know, 70s, 80s country, like the good stuff. And she was like, I don't like Luke Bryan. I'm like, well, it's not that kind of country. It's like, I was like, basically, it's if that guy in there ate a bunch of mushrooms or dropped some acid, and
that's what we would
sound like.
She's like, oh, okay. I'll see y'all later.
Yeah, she was out.
Yeah, she's out. Like,
these guys are weird.
These guys are crazy, man.
Yeah, no, that's like for me, I was playing in Auburn and stuff and playing, I mean, I was just like Mr. Sideman playing with whoever pickup gigs I could get. And that's how I got the gig with BB. Is like the, you know, his Ross and Lindsay, they couldn't make a gig one night. And it was just like, I got the phone call, you know, through Matt Alamany. Actually, he's the one that called and he's like, hey, BB needs a guitar player. He's like, can you do it? And so I did. But like at that point, when I met him, I was literally the go-to guy for at least like 8 bands. I was just all playing with whoever, you know. And then when I started playing with BB, I just like quit playing with everyone else and just started doing that. Only.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. That's cool.
That was a cool transition, yeah, for Josh, because, like, you know.
And that's crazy how it kind of helped solidify the sound.
It did. I mean, let's just put it this way. If Josh hadn't joined, I wouldn't be doing this, you know, because It's hard to go out there on your own and do it, you know, like it is, and it's hard to do it. And if you don't have the dedication, the same vision as the people in your band do, it's not going to work, you know? So Josh was the first person I met who was like, yeah, I want to do this. I want to expand, and we want to, you know, we set objectives and goals. We're like, yeah, we want to do this. We want to do that. We want to go out and do tours. And since then, you know, a lot of stuff has happened that would have never happened to me if Josh wouldn't have joined the band. So, I mean, yeah. I thank this guy right here. But yeah, and I've
done some cool stuff. Super cool stuff, man.
No
it's
doubt.
Crazy.
It is crazy to say, you know, it's like
look back through pictures and stuff. I mean, this time last year we were in Chicago, you know. It's like now it's like now we can't go anywhere. You know, go out on the road, and it's like
right. It was nice because we were just kind of like getting some momentum going and all that, and then you know that's what you know Mother Nature came in, did her thing, you know, thinning the herd, you know, maintaining the balance of the earth. So I get it, but yeah, it's not good for musicians though.
Yeah, for sure. Well, tell me about like that Opelika scene then. Was it incestuous as far like Birmingham to where everybody kind of trades lead guitarist, or what was that like?
No, man. So Opelika is a town outside of Auburn. For people who don't know, it's a smaller town, and it's the outskirts of Auburn or whatever. And like, I mean, there was no scene there back in the day. And I mean, really and truthfully, Opelika wouldn't have anything without Richard Patton. He's the guy.
Yeah.
He's not a musician, but he was.
Strabot, right?
No, he's not a musician. He's just like,
Puts on shows.
Yeah, I mean, all I know to call him is just an entrepreneur because
right.
like, he just gets involved in things. But he developed downtown Opelika. He owned 8th and Rail originally. He started it. It was like a singer-songwriter music venue that singer-songwriters from all over the world came and played. And that was the only thing there. And people were like, oh, Opelika's a bad place to go. And he's the one that, I mean, he developed all that property where the brewery and distillery is. But he puts on shows and has Cottonseed.
He
put us on some incredible shows early on, playing him and Scott Peak from Standard Deluxe and Waverly.
Yeah, guys,
which is just another
like,
small town.
With like Andrew Combs.
Town Mountain,
which is we're both like, we listened to and we admired, you know, as big Andrew Combs fans. So, yeah, he's the reason that kind of built that scene. Him and also Rob and Jen Slocum.
Yeah, Rob and Jen Slocum is who owns the studio there that we recorded at. And,
the sound wall.
Yeah, and they have a band called Martha's Trouble. They're, you know, singer-songwriter type stuff. Totally different scene from what we did. That's the cool thing about Opelika is there's a lot of music and a lot of musicians and stuff, and everyone's really different. Like, no one's the same. Like, when you say Opelika, though, everyone thinks of Adam Hood. I mean, he's the...
He put Opelika on the map, no doubt.
Yeah, Adam Hood's... God, yeah, he's one of my favorite.
He played at the Columbus Art Council last year. And it was the first time that I had met him. And Monk, the guy I do like those Untapped and Vinyl episodes with.
Yeah.
Him and Monk are good friends.
Oh, they are?
And Monk's who put him, you know, put me on him. And I went to that show that night, and I was like, talk about a songwriter.
Oh, Adam's great, man. And they love him in Texas. That's like his...
Yeah, that's what I've been told.
That's
bread and butter.
Yeah, exactly. He's, man... This is how crazy, like, how well he's known in Texas. In Auburn in, like, 2006, 7, I didn't know about him. And I had a friend who moved to Auburn from Texas and showed me Adam Hood. He's like, you don't know Adam Hood? He lives from Opelika. I'm like, I had no idea. And then that's when I listened to his first records. And, Buzzes Like Neon, like, that was, like, the first song I heard. Mm-hmm. And then he put out, what was it, the Red Record?
That's the one I have.
Yeah.
I can't think of the name of it.
Starts off like Flaming and Gasoline and Grandma's, what's it called? I can't remember. It's Adam's good people. Good song. Right?
I like the way that y'all talk about the scene, to bring up the people who made the scene available, not to just talk about the people in the scene.
Man,
because
you
need those non-musicians who are just...
I mean, that's really, I mean, without those people, I mean, we wouldn't be where we're at. I mean, I accredit a lot of the cool things we've done to Scott Peak from Standard Lux and Richard Patton from Opelika. I mean, those guys, I mean, they believed in us whenever no one else did. I know it's so cliche to say, but I mean, like, literally, like, those two guys get great bands in. I mean, like, Richard and Opelika had Dawes, I mean, play, and like, St. Paul and Broken Bones. I mean, he's had like some killer bands, and then out Standard Deluxe. I mean, Isville's played there, you know, and I mean, Alabama Shakes. I mean, just everyone awesome. And so, like, to be this local band, if you will, that gets the opportunity to play those things. I mean, we opened for Brent Cobb there, and
That's cool.
Done some super rad stuff, and you know, that other local bands kind of like, how do y'all get to do that? But it's like, we're just fortunate that those people believed in us enough to put us in that situation.
Yeah, that definitely was a step in the ladder, you know, for kind of what we're working on, what we're doing now. So, yeah. Thanks to all those people.
And it's cause, like, just to bring up Monk again, is when I told him that I was going to record with y'all again this weekend, he said, B.B. Palmer. I said, yeah. He said, I know them. They play at Waverly, Standard Deluxe a lot, right?
Yeah.
And he said, I like their stuff.
Oh, really?
Like, he knows about y'all because of Standard Deluxe. It's weird that you phrase that like that, you know, once again.
I mean, it's kind of funny, man, because, like, whenever we go there, it's like, you'll see, like, you know, four or five people walking around with our shirt on and stuff, and like everybody's like coming up and talking to us and like asking us what we're doing. It's like the only place in the world that whenever I go there, it's like I feel like I don't know what to say, like famous or like important or whatever.
Yeah.
It's
really? No one ever says anything to me.
Yeah, no, man, it's like I just love it. It is home, man. It's like the place when you go, it's like, God, these people believe in us. Like, I mean, Chris Wilton and Lisa, they own a catering company and do food and stuff. Like,
yeah, they do the food.
They freaking meals. Just always, man, they're always there. Like, so many people, John Mark from Opelika, people support us and, like, have, like, really support us. And not just like, oh, we like y'all, but they're like, come to our shows, they buy our stuff, you know, I mean, John Mark and Meredith, like, they came to our show in Birmingham one night when they were in town to see Sturgill Simpson. They just, like, come over. It's like these people, like, will come out and, like, come support us. And that's, you know, it's like, I love other musicians and stuff, but I like music listeners more because they're the ones that are keeping us all going.
Oh, know? No doubt about it.
Music lovers. And
no doubt about it. You know, that's you, Alan. That's you, too.
Yeah, guys, I mean, like you. I mean, yeah, it's like without people who believe in musicians, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I go to shows, just take Birmingham. It's, you know, about an hour and a half from my house. If I see it's a local show, like just say Taylor Hollinsworth, if he's playing at Avondale, I'll go.
Right.
Especially if it's on the weekend and I can pull it off.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm definitely, you know, that way. Like anything that I can do to keep it moving.
Sure. Yeah, it needs it, you know. Definitely needs those people.
Well, Taylor, I want to hear a little bit from you. Tell me about your involvement and, like, how did y'all meet? How did this happen?
Do you want, like, the real story?
Yeah, please.
Hey!
I'm not going to give him that story.
Maybe not.
Me and BB met on Tinder and...
Tinder matches.
I don't know. I had this weird animosity towards BB.
Yeah, we didn't like each other.
It was really weird, and now it's like I can't.
She's
imagine.
Saying weird animosity. She hated BB before she knew me. Before
I didn't
she
hate
knew
you.
Him,
no, don't.
She would like listen.
Know this.
She would like listen to Space Texas, which is like one of our more popular songs that's on the EP, and like mock us and stuff, and then one night
and
we
I didn't
played.
Like Taylor either. Like we both were like. We're a little suspicious towards each other.
It was really strange because now I can't like imagine you not.
Oh, I know. I'll get like little text messages, be like, "I love you, I miss you." I was like, "You hate, you stink me."
We were playing at Marty's in Birmingham, which is
I love you.
Awesome place in Birmingham, but we were playing there, and that's whenever I met Taylor and we started talking and
yep.
dating and all that good stuff. And
yep, that was the first night they met. Yeah.
Yeah. What's that? I just wedged my way into it. I was like, y'all need some harmonies?
Yeah, well,
I'm here. I know how to play tambourine.
I was thinking about it before she even thought. I was like, man, because I've been wanting to have really good female harmonies, you know, like forever. And I was like, I asked Josh, I was like, you think Taylor would do the Brent Cobb gig with us and do a few songs? So, like, the first time she played with us was in Waverly,
mm-hmm.
right?
Really?
Yeah, that was the first time she joined us on stage. And we did, I think she sang, like, one of our songs off the record, and then we did...
Las Vegas, Graham Parsons tune, and I didn't know the words, so I wrote them down on a piece of paper, and I wrote them down wrong, and...
Basically,
saying it wrong.
Yeah, no, but it was right enough. Yeah, she was like, "What is it?" And it was like the second verse. It was like the Queen of Hearts.
As a friend of mine, the Queen of Spades is a bitch.
Yeah, so the napkin said Queen of Hearts, friend, Queen of Spades, bitch.
Right. Oh no!
Oh, you gotta find that, man.
Yeah, I do have a picture of it. I think I kept it, but anyways, yeah. So that was probably like a year and a half.
Yeah, probably longer than that.
To probably 2 years ago, maybe. I don't know. It's been that long. Anyways, that's how Taylor started to join us.
Time marches on.
Hell
yeah.
Yeah, so, and then since then, we go on the road, we'll do shows. Like, her band is my band, so, like, she can do her show and then join us for ours. And it's just
it works out perfectly, yeah. Man. It really does.
Good stuff. It opens everything up.
Sure does, man. We got a lot more options, you know.
I have more fun doing BB Palmer stuff than I do doing Taylor Hawkins stuff. I do. I really do. I mean it.
Why do you think that?
Because I don't have all the pressure.
I know.
Fair enough.
Man.
Yeah.
There's like a rule that I don't get stoned during my shows, but during BB shows, it's like
she can get stoned.
Get a little lit.
Yeah, she can get a little lit. She can get in there. You know?
As long as I do my job.
Since we've brought up Lee County's highest, I want to ask you this, man. I want to talk about processes. I don't think there's no yes or no, or it's both or whatever, but what is your process like? Do you need to sober up, or is it good to be stoned and to be looking for God, or however you want to put it?
No, it is looking for God, no doubt. That's a good question. Yeah, it's different, you know, it's different for everybody, but for me, it's like, I find that, like, when I'm, it's hard to explain because it's, moderation is good, you know, like, it's good to, I find that, like, if I'm smoking too much or I'm doing too much of one thing, then my creativity will be sapped, and then right when I get off and I'm pure and I'm clean, I don't have any, you know, then I'll blow my chest out proverbially. I basically just all the stuff that was building up and holding in with inside me while I was on something that was masking it has finally come out. And so from a songwriting perspective, I guess it's good for me to get, you know, really loaded and then like wait a month or two and then
unload.
Yeah, and then unload and be clean. And then for playing live though, I do like to get a little stoned and kind of loosens me up a little bit. It's just, you know, and then the realm of psychedelics helps too. You know, that's something that you don't have to do a lot. You know what I mean? I can take some mushrooms or I can, you know, do some LSD or something like that. And then I can go see God, and then that'd be enough for 5 or 6 years, you know, or maybe for the rest of my life, you know. And the interesting thing now is I'm learning ways to get there without drugs, like Kriya Yoga, and like I'm learning these Eastern traditional, you know, paths of spirituality. So now I can sit down and do my mantras and do my practices, and I can get to that space without, you know, being rushed there by a chemical substance. And don't get me wrong, it's not a bad thing. Had Ram Dass ever taken LSD back in the 50s, then he wouldn't have, I wouldn't have had the knowledge I have. And so I think that psychedelics and mushrooms are basically kind of not from this planet. They're given to us for the spiritual guidance of man. You know what I mean? So I think, you know, that they're... Have you ever heard of the stoned ape theory?
No, tell me.
Okay, so the stoned ape theory goes like this. It basically... it says that psychedelics and mushrooms were responsible for the evolution of humankind, and basically, these our primate ancestors would be in be wherever they were and would be eating mushrooms, you know, for sustenance and for food.
Thank God for 2.0.
not realizing that these things actually. Yes, they can be used for sustenance, but your monkey brain better be ready because it's about to be taken somewhere, yeah. You know.
You're about to reach a higher plane.
Right, you know, for our primate ancestors. So basically it just says that psychedelics are responsible for, you know, the growth and the evolution of man, you know, from primate to where we are now.
Yeah, I mean, it's like when I get into, and I don't want to spend a whole awful lot of time here, is right. When folks want to talk about religion, it's like, I think religion is good.
Right. Yeah, it can
but
be.
The thing to me is like be. Eastern, Western, Christianity, Buddhism, whatever take.
Yeah.
It's all good.
It's whatever works for you. Basically, some of the best stuff that I've ever had about religion that I've read is that it is different branches, the same root. It doesn't matter how you get there. It doesn't even matter if you.
It's enlightenment, right?
What now?
Enlightenment.
Enlightenment, exactly. I mean, enlightenment. It's also called moksha in the Hindu way of things. It's called nirvana in Buddhism. I mean,
it's
called salvation in Christianity. It's the same thing, and that's what people don't realize. It's like. There's these occurrences through all these holy books, the Quran, the Bhagavad Gita, the Bible, you know, the fourfold path of Buddha, you know, has all these similarities occurring. And these are happening from cultures who are completely cut off from each other. So it's like these occurrences are happening, and it's like, well, there's got to be some basic underlying truth that ties all these things together. So, I mean, I can talk about this shit all day. So, I mean, yeah. Don't get me started, Alan.
We'll take one back.
Yeah.
Let's talk about here in the day. We're in the year 2020. It's there's not a lot going on live.
Not right now.
But let's talk a little bit about that. What have you been up to?
Well, we've been working behind the scenes. Like, we're kind of getting ready to gear up for, I mean, obviously, all of us are itching to get on the road. But we're going to do it when the time is right. And we're going to make sure we do it right. So right now, we've just been working on the Krishna Country record and working on, like, post-production for that and finishing that up. And getting ready to, like, you know, look at doing some runs and some dates probably in March, April, May, you know, and just taking it, kind of looking further out, because right now it's just so, nobody really knows from day to day, from week to week it changes.
Right.
So, you know, daily. We're trying to give us enough time for, you know, for things to maybe cool down, if they will. We don't know. That's all we can do right now is just kind of like plan and book. And if it comes to that time and, you know, there's another spike or something, then there's just nothing you can do about it. You know, and that's the thing is that you just kind of have to go with the flow in this business, in this game, you know. And then the sooner you realize that, the sooner you lower your expectations too is when it gets good. Because then you can just be like, ah, you know, it is what it is. C'est la vie, so...
Perfect. Now I gotta ask my James Mullis question.
Oh, James Mullis. Yep, we know a little bit about James Mullis. Yep.
So the question I'm carrying for all musicians on Porch Talk is this: is what is the worst of what's the best way to put it? Stage banter that you've ever heard that was either a facepalm or it was like, oh shit, did he really just say that?
The worst stage banter.
Yes.
Well, I've been talking a lot lately, so Josh, why don't you? Man.
I'm trying to think, what's the worst stage band?
Or just
from maybe else? Maybe it's
from
your,
us or from someone
either
else?
Either way, your own or somebody else.
I mean, we, you know, we say some pretty.
I mean, we say some weird stuff, or BB says.
Well,
some
I can't
stuff
help it. I just get up there, it's like a stream of consciousness thing where I just, it's just mouth diarrhea, basically. Like, I'm just like, I don't know, I'm not good at banter naturally, so I'm just like. I get like Mike Tyson. I'm like, I'm going to eat all your babies and all your children, and I'll consume you. And everybody's like, what the fuck is that? But I do.
Is he Mormon?
Is he Mormon?
Eating babies?
Babies, that's what they do.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, Mormons eat babies.
So that's how
I know, that's what South Park said.
They also say that I don't have souls.
It's got to be true.
That's
true. That's true. They also say that.
They do say that.
They ruined me. That came out when I was in high school. And I was like, son of a bitch.
Let me tell you, Adam, if you don't have a soul, none of us do, brother. I'll tell you that. I'll tell you that. This guy's got the most soul. Yeah, I mean, I guess there was something that I said, or we did this like hilarious gig, like at the, it was like a Labor Day gig, was it? At the,
oh God.
Where was it?
The Sweet Tater Fest in Coleman, Alabama.
The Sweet Tater
Fest. Coleman.
Coleman is a vibe of its own.
Yeah, it's very interesting up
I
there.
I think they still wear white hoods up there.
They
those
are.
Boys are rough.
They
man.
Are
100% those boys
still
are.
Wear white hoods.
Yeah.
There's no doubt.
Yeah, they're rough.
Could have passed it. But yeah, so it's the Sweet Tater Fest. And anyways, it's basically nobody was there. Like after we, because we had to follow these badass cloggers.
Yeah.
Like they got up there and they played like Baton Rouge by Garth Brooks.
They played Cotton Eye Joe.
Cotton Eye Joe?
They got a new boy one this year, and he rolls.
Yeah, he's awesome. Anyways, it's like a group of, like, you know, 15 girls and two guys, and they're just like...
cloggers.
Yeah, big skirts. Just
yeah.
Down,
yeah. And that's like the main event. And then we had to follow that.
I
so
loved it.
How do you follow that?
You can't follow that. You follow it by just...
banner.
Stream of consciousness
yeah.
banner. And,
by Mormon banner.
And that way, that day it went like this. Our drummer, Andrew Penzeffer Mone... if you're out there, he's out there in the ether always. That's my soul brother.
Hello.
Hello.
And he talks like this, kind of.
Back to James Mullis. That's what when James saw Bodie.
Oh yeah, tell the story.
The drummer. He said, "Do you always talk with that high voice?" He said, "What do you say?"
So,
he's like, only
sometimes. Yeah, James came after. I think we played at Avondale. Yeah, like he's like. Man, do you always talk like that? He's like, only sometimes. Anyways,
like Mickey Mouse.
Anyways, and he does like he. Yeah,
that's awesome.
I think that's him 90% of the time. And when we're on the road, he's just like, dear baby Jesus, Tom Cruise, please look after us, little Tom Cruise, our
the
Lord and
bit.
Savior. Yeah, and so. And when we were at the Sweet Tater Festival,
dear
I was like,
tiny baby Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. Tom Cruise. And at this gig, I was just like, dear, this next song's for a little tiny, our Lord and Savior, Tom Cruise. And all these people were like, what?
Huh?
Maybe it's, that's why they all left.
Maybe that's why.
It's probably because I was up there, because they don't like me.
Yeah, they don't like Taylor, apparently.
They do not like me. I played there like 4 years in a row, and...
Yeah, and
well,
she.
I'll tell you that story later.
Yeah, she's yeah. Taylor. We'll save it for her podcast because she's coming up right after. So. But yeah, so that's stage manner, I guess.
Yeah, man, I can't think of one right off that's funny enough.
I can't either.
I can't.
So.
Roll on. Well, dude. Anything else you want to add or subtract?
Yeah, about time to wrap it up, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, we're at that point. So, yeah, so I guess, yeah, let me plug the Christian Country Project that we're working on right
Tell
now.
Tell all.
That's cool.
That
so,
you can.
Yes, I will. So, about a year ago in February, this past February 2020, decided to, we're doing like a two-song release, basically A and B side, called Krishna Country, and it's from basically it's a fusion. It's kind of a fusion project. We're taking Eastern instruments like the sitar, and we're combining it with our music, like, you know, Western country music.
That's cool.
Basically, the tag is the Far East meets the Deep South. And so, yeah, so it's a project that we're doing, working on that, and we record.
Who's involved on that?
Oh, man, I'm going to give you the list of musicians right here. It was an undertaking because, like, you know, I wanted to do something different. We put out the EP and the Lee County's Finest record, and those are all fine and well, but it's just like, you know, you can only do that for so long, you know, from my point of view, at least. You got to always be moving forward, you know, and when I get done with something, I don't want to do it again, you know. So I was like, man, it'd be cool to, you know, because by that point I had stumbled upon Vedic scripture, and I was really into it for the past year. So I was like, it'd be cool to, you know, to bring the music in there.
Yeah.
So I was like, how do we get a sitar in there? Well, that's when we called our good friend Davis Little from the Little Rain Band out of Birmingham. And I've known Davis for a long time. And I told him about it, our drummer told him about it. And he's like, oh, I have a sitar, actually.
No, the first time I ever heard a sitar was Incubus, Aqueous Transmissions.
It was, yep. That's a good record. I love Incubus. Live at Red Rocks, he used to wear that DVD out. Anyway, so... I really did. And anyways, Davis said, yeah, I'll do it. So we got Davis on sitar, and we brought in Martin Sager on trombone, and then Jonathan Avant from Montgomery were our horn section. And then we just added the core band, so Josh Taylor, me, and Andrew and Blake, who plays bass.
And you so, mean Balake?
Yeah, Balake. You mean Balake?
Blake Robbins.
Yeah, Blake Robbins.
Balake Robbins.
And so we recorded these two songs, and yeah, and that's Christian Country. That'll be released, and one of them will be released early March, and one will be released late April, and then we videotaped it too. Shout out to Ian Keel.
Yeah, he did such a great job.
Oh, he killed it.
JP Mopus is who. Engineered it.
Yeah, our good buddy JP came and recorded it, and we recorded it at the Soundwall in Opelika.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just had all these people who, and we couldn't really, you know, at the time we couldn't really afford it. And so we were like, yeah, I don't know if we have a budget to pay, but all these people came and put in their energy and their work, time and their effort without, you know. It was really humbling.
It's a beautiful thing when
it
happens, man.
It is a beautiful thing, man. And it was a real, and it kind of, I guess it was supposed to happen like that, you know? So, but yeah, and so that's coming out soon. So other than that, that's, you know, look for Krishna Country. And any closing thoughts, Josh?
No.
No? Taylor?
Nothing.
No? Okay. Alan?
I have closing thoughts, man.
You say your closing thoughts, and I'll say mine, and we'll peace out.
Like this. 2.0 was, I like the direction you had for the music. I've never had someone ask that.
Ask what?
That if we could do two different settings and record the way that we done that.
Oh, yeah. As far as
I like that. Music. Like, I had Brad Armstrong. We did a phone line. He's in New York. And
that's where he lives now?
Mm-hmm. And so he recorded just like this from his home, and I recorded just like this from
nice.
My home.
Y'all did it.
And he also played guitar, and like that is the closest to this.
Yeah.
Other than me just playing Lee County's Finest, or, you know, playing a track right off the record.
Right.
But I like that idea. I was totally behind that. I like the direction for that.
Yeah, and I don't mind doing
like,
it.
And thank you for asking, and thank you for doing it, man.
Yeah, no problem. I mean,
not just BB.
Well, yeah, Josh, yeah, no doubt, man. Well, I appreciate you having us, and closing thoughts real quick. I'll give this little bit of wisdom to the people out there. It did not come from me. Actually, none of this stuff comes from me. It's all borrowed from, you know, different people. I have no original thought or wisdom, but I will be happy to interpret it. So it goes like this. Those who speak do not know. Those who know do not speak. Therefore, I do not know. Peace and love. Hare Krishna. Om Harim Shri Guru Vyo Namah. Peace and love.
Out of here. News and notes. Thank you so much for listening to Porch Talk. If you haven't done so already, I would ask that you would rate and review the show on whatever podcast app it is that you listen to. I don't get all the algorithms, but I know that it helps. Thank you in advance. Share it on your social media. Tell your buddy, tell your friend, tell your dog, tell your enemy. I don't care. All right, we open up the show with D.I.P. That's the first song you heard. We're going to close it out with Many Worlds Theory. It's all about B.B. Palmer. I'm getting out of here. Peace out, guys. Thank you so much.
I already know where I'd like to go when I have to die. I'd like to fall asleep in a dream of your mind. Drift down your canyon. They're so vast and wild. Neural synapse snapped in your back. Flesh, blood, and wine. I feel like I have been around here before. Deja vu, waking up on the bathroom floor. I've seen hell, and I've seen God, and I'm just fine. With leaving the both of them behind. Fall asleep in your mind for the rest of eternity. Fall asleep in your mind. I'd like to stay there permanently.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.